speaking today with Dr. Laura Murillo, who is the President and CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking today because the Chamber recently endorsed ballot Proposition 4 on the November ballot, which is the proposition that would add an amendment to the Constitution enabling creation of more Tier 1 universities. So tell me why the Chamber decided to endorse this proposition.
Well, first of all, our Chamber has a lot of sponsors and corporate partners in the city, as well as we've got a great relationship with local universities and colleges to help identify student emerging leaders. The University of Houston, of course, being in our backyard, has been a great supporter of our Chamber. We work collaboratively with them on each of their campuses. And when Tier 1 became an opportunity for the University of Houston, we were asked to consider supporting the amendment. And so what we did is we took the information and submitted it to our advocacy committee, which consists of Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors. And what they did then is they received information on the matter and looked at it in terms of our mission statement, which is to really be the catalyst and the advocate for small businesses in the Hispanic business community. And there was a correlation there with, you know, the University of Houston and these other universities as well becoming Tier 1 research universities. And so there was a real connection with that happening here locally and around the state for growth of our chamber, because for every, I think it's like $10 million that, for every $10 million that is invested in this, you know, there are hundreds of jobs, thousands of jobs that are created as a result. And also just positions our university to be in a situation, as many other universities are in different parts of the country. As an example, California and New York, they have 6-7 Tier 1 universities. We only have UT and Texas A&M. And so we want to make sure that our citizens have opportunities to have Tier 1 institutions.
Now, what specifically will this do to enable UH to achieve Tier 1 status, and what will UH still need to do beyond what this proposition would allow for?
Well, of course, this is really just part of a bigger equation, if you will. Dr. Couture has been, in a very short period of time, working very closely with the legislature, as you know. She's been over there day in and day out at Austin, making sure that she advocates for the University of Houston. Part of the strategy, as I understand it, is that she is very involved in recruiting, not individuals, but teams to the University of Houston. As an example, in engineering, she has gone after some of the top research teams in engineering around the country. And she did that in her former position where she went out and sought these individuals, because what they do is then they are out there receiving grants and other funding that are going to once again help build, you know, all of these endowments so that they have much more substantive resources in terms of dollars. And what does that mean for the student? And that means that they get to, as an undergraduate or graduate student, work on projects, work with professors that are renowned, you know, nationally and throughout the world. And so this is part of just one of the many different things. And another role that I have is I serve on the University of Houston Alumni Association. And the University of Houston has had a very difficult time in just making their alumni stay involved with the university. Really having alumni feel a feeling of pride, a feeling of wanting to give back, alumni participation, or lack thereof. And one of the things that I've seen, again, in a very short period of time, through Dr. Couture, through this one thing, this one piece of the equation, which is getting Tier 1 status, is that you have a lot of people really trying to make that happen. And there's not really been a one issue that a lot of alums and corporate sponsors and people in the community could agree on. And I think finally for the University of Houston, this is the one thing that they're getting a lot of legislative support on, alumni support, the business community. The Great Houston Partnership has endorsed this. The AFL-CIO has endorsed this. So for the first time in a very long time, the University of Houston has one thing that is really gaining a lot of attention. And hopefully, part of the result of all of this is going to be more involvement at the university. And as I said earlier, from a business standpoint and opportunity standpoint, you know, again, more partnerships with that university, because they're going to be bringing in people who will have things to offer to the general public in terms of new models, new ways of doing things, and innovation that our city needs.
Let's talk a little bit about the impact of this. You said you would anticipate that it would lead to creation of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
How would that happen? Is it because do you expect that to be immediate or more of a down the road thing as the money starts to get spent and students go through the school?
As I understand it, it's down the road. I mean, certainly nothing is going to happen, that happens. But just to give you an idea, based on the information we received is that, for every $10 million, it creates about 334 jobs.
That's $10 million spent on the University of Houston?
Yes. Then if you look at that, as an example, MIT, they, as a result of becoming a tier one institution, as a result of that, then their alums went on to create 4,000 companies after going through programs that were specifically generated after becoming tier one institutions. And so it's an opportunity truly to just recruit and retain students that otherwise will be leaving the state for other schools. We want them in Houston. We want top people that are in Houston to stay here, and we want to be able to recruit and attract individuals from all over the country and the world. And many of them do not come here because it is not a tier one institution, making it harder then again for Dr. Couture or leaders to recruit the type of professors that they want to lead their universities.
And, what impact do you expect it to have, operationally or from a student's perspective on the University of Houston? What kind of programs do you think would get created as a result of this?
Well, I'm not certain specifically what programs would be created, but I will tell you in just my conversation again through the Alumni Association with Dr. Couture, engineering, science, technology, the medical center being here, there are a lot of partnerships that already exist at the University of Houston. This will only enhance those and create some new ones that currently do not exist. But it just is that other carrot to try to get some of these top professors. And as I mentioned, we've got a tremendous university. So many people aren't even aware the University of Houston has, for example, the number one entrepreneurial program in the country, the MBA's programs that they have there, so many dual programs and things of that nature. I think it just puts the University of Houston on the map, not just here locally, but throughout the state and the country. And it's long overdue. It really is. And I think with the economy being what it is, you have more families that had intended on sending their children out of state who now, may not have that option. If you look at the statistics, the community colleges and these two-year schools are just bursting at the seams with students that typically would have gone straight to A&M or straight to U of H. Parents are keeping their children here for at least 2 years because of cost. So now they have a very good opportunity to send their students to a tier one university here in their backyard and in industries that are going to be very relevant 5-10 years from now. And that's, I think, a win for all of us in this community. As a former student from the University of Houston, my parents crossed the Rio Grande. I'm a child of immigrant parents who came here with second grade educations. They sent me to school. I went to the University of Houston, got a bachelor's, a master's, and a doctorate degree, the first in my family to do that. And it was through the University of Houston, being a university that was very culturally diverse and one that was set in a place where I could have three jobs when I went to college. And so many other universities, you're a student and you may not work. And for our community, the Houston community and the world today, just a degree is not going to open that door. You need real life experience. Once again, that's what the University of Houston provides that many of the other competitors don't. And as a business community, that's who our business owners are trying to hire. People who have education and training, but more important now, experience.
Okay. Well, as you've noted, Proposition 4 has been endorsed by a wide range of organizations, office holders, and so on and so forth. There is some opposition to it. The Young Conservatives of Texas have opposed it, and their argument is that becoming a Tier 1 university makes a university more research-oriented, and that isn't necessarily beneficial to undergraduate students. How would you respond to that?
I would disagree, because part of going to university is that you want to engage the students in research. And at the end of the day, they are the benefactors. We, the community, are the benefactors of research. For a student to go through university and have an opportunity to work with and meet professors of that caliber is only something that's going to augment their experience. And furthermore, if you look at statistics and the number of Latinos enrolled at the University of Houston, which is about 18%, I believe, if you look at that number, so few of them go on to pursue masters and postgraduate degrees. This, again, provides them at an undergraduate level for some of them, and for all of them at the graduate level, an opportunity to engage firsthand in areas that they might not pursue. And again, hopefully the end result is that we have more students who ultimately go on to get postgraduate degrees. And so I would disagree with that in terms of just, once again, if you look at other states and how many Tier 1 universities they have and the things that it has brought and the innovation that's been created, this is a win-win situation. Why shouldn't an urban university such as UH have those same opportunities?
How many other universities in the state would be affected by this?
I believe it's 7. And all of them have strict criteria, as an example, in terms of what they must do to continue to receive the funding for it. And it is nothing, it's not just a given that these universities, I mean, they have to do a lot on their part. There's a lot of requirements and a lot of reporting that has to be conducted to make sure that these monies and that the universities are being accountable to, you know, what they're saying they're going to deliver. So there's a lot of oversight, and there should be a lot of oversight. And once again, I do believe that given Dr. Couture's experience and what she's done at other universities, that she has a very big vision for the University of Houston. And those plans will only come to fruition with this particular element of Tier 1. And I get a very good sense that it's going to happen, because there's a lot of people engaged in following this. And as I said, one of the signs for me as a former University of Houston student is just the alumni interaction and emails and things I'm seeing on Facebook where they wouldn't even talk about the University of Houston. All of a sudden, you have different pockets of people trying to influence the decision. And I can't recall, you know, that being the case on any other topic. So.
Okay. The funding that's available for this is essentially unallocated funds that are available to the university, that are available to the state, which is why there's not a bond being floated and there's not a tax being levied. I guess another concern that I had heard is that, you know, once this happens, that, you know, that's money. Once that money is gone, there will, you know, there'll have to be more funding coming from somewhere else. Is that a concern?
Well, it's always a concern when it comes to money, isn't it? I mean, once, you know, the money is gone, you're correct. But I think we need to look at the bigger picture of, as a result of transferring this money, what it will create and not transferring it. I mean, yes, it's there, but what is the benefit of it being there without it really producing the outcomes that we're seeking? And I think given our current economy and our climate, we cannot continue to provide our students and our community with the same types of things. It is the time to take things to the next level and look for opportunities such as MIT did in terms of turning out alumni that created new businesses and new industries. And Houston is known for that. We are known, and if you look across the country, while we are suffering economically, it's nowhere near what you're seeing in some of the other states. And we as a Chamber of Commerce are a perfect example of that. We have been the benefactors of national corporations that typically have gone to Miami or LA, who are now coming to Houston to invest their dollars. And so I believe that's going to be the same thing. The timing on this is perfect, because you have researchers in other parts of the country that, you know, may be looking for that change and that opportunity. And Houston right now is booming in comparison to some of our sister states.
Okay. So just to sum up, why should people vote for Proposition 4?
Because it's good for business.
It's good for business. All right. Dr. Murillo, thank you very much for talking to me today.
I appreciate it. I'm glad the rain didn't catch you. It's been crazy, huh?